The text is the Easter Gospel from St. Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Here ends our text. "Who will roll the stone away?" asked the women. How about you? Is there a stone in your life that needs rolling? What stone do you keep walking around, avoiding, wondering, who will roll the stone away? Your stone could be the economy or your personal economy. Money problems, they can be an awful big rock in the road. More often than not, for me, it's not actual money problems, but vague money worries. But real or vague, financial anxiety could be a stone for us all, as we wonder if car companies and or major banks are going to fail and what effect that will have on us. Of course, a people problem can make even a money matter look like a pebble. A marriage on the rocks trumps a stone in front of your bank account any day. A problem child or a problem with a child can be more of a burden than a financial problem. You don't just worry about any size stone connected with your kids. You ache and you strain and you give yourself an emotional hernia trying to move it. Having studied the book of Job, you know there is an even bigger stone, though, than money fears or family matters. What does Satan say will break Job after pummeling his life with stones of family and financial ruin does not? Satan says a man will give all he has for his own life. Yes, even a stone in your kidney, let alone a dark spot on an x-ray shaped like a stone, will funnel, channel, focus all your attention like nothing else in life. And you know why? Because any problem involving your physical life brings up the matter of death. Now we come to the largest of stones. Death is unmovable. When doctors call the time of death, no one can call time out. Oh, you can deny it. You can ignore it. But sooner or later, you're going to trip over the stone and stub much more than your toe. All the other stones in life, like money worries, family problems, and even sickness, are pea gravel in comparison to the granite boulder of death. In fact, the others are only problems at all because of death. Think about it. If there is no death, life would be like playing a video game in invincible mode. Who cares if huge, numerous financial, family, or health rocks come flying at you? You can't die. But since you can die, since you do die, the big rock of death gives force and fear to all the other stones in your life. The cause of death is sin. That's never on a death certificate, of course. But what separates your soul from its body is sin. The wages of sin is death, and sin always gets paid. Got sins? You bet you do. Even though our world only recognizes the sins of intolerance and failing to go green, you know you have sins. Your sinfulness covers your hands like oil or paint or grease. Everything you touch, you taint. The death stone sits on your chest, sometimes on your throat, because of your sins. There's no such thing as a little sin, because all sins earn the same wage. And death is a big payday. So here you are touching everything with sin. Your world, your work, your marriage, your family, yourself. Leaving skull and crossbone fingerprints of death all over the place. The longer you live, the more prints you leave behind. You try wiping your hands. You try being careful what you touch. And still you leave a trail of smudges, of dirt, of stains, all leading to that huge stone you can't roll away. Death. So, why doesn't God just toss the stone out of the way? Well, if God did that, he would break a promise he made. God is the one who promised the wages of sin is death. If God broke a promise, any promise, that'd make him untruthful. God isn't just truthful, he is truth. Therefore, God can't break any promise without ceasing to be God. Yet, of course, God is also love. And even in this fallen state, God loves us. So how can his love and his truth be reconciled? Only by something incredible, something unimaginable, something unbelievable. God did the unprecedented, unheard of, unthinkable thing of taking your sins as his own. You're heading for the stone where you would be justly put to death for your crimes. But God stepped forward and said, I did that. I did that, he said, to each and every sin you have ever committed. To your unbelief, to your worry, to your greed, to your lust, to your gossip, to your hatred, to your immorality, God said, I did that. There's more. You know, you can't put to death an animal in place of a man. Neither could God be put to death in place of men. The wages of sin were earned by men, not by God. So the death would have to be that of a man. Christ Jesus is true man. He has real flesh and blood. He has a heart that pumps, and therefore can stop. He has a soul dwelling in a body, and therefore the soul can be separated from it. Jesus is true man, but he's also true God. Through the miracle of the virgin conceiving, God the Son took on our flesh and blood. And in this flesh and blood, he took on all the obligations of God's holy law. He fulfilled them perfectly. He was the perfect man, the perfect woman, the perfect child. His hands were free of oil, of paint, or grease. Everywhere he touched, he left the sweet smell of life. This perfect man who is also God paid the wages of sin on the cross. God had promised that sin earned death. God the Son claimed our sins, and God the Father gave him our death. That huge stone of death rolled right over him, squashing the life out of him. We've already said that God cannot cease to be God. It is impossible for him to break a promise, since that would make the truth untruthful. God is also life. He can't cease being that either. The only reason the God-man died was to pay for your sins. Once that debt was paid, death had no claim to him. Death has no right, has no power over God who is life. So Jesus rose. The stone that we cannot roll away is thrown out of our way, because Jesus doesn't just rise as God, but as man. Our flesh and blood were forever joined to God in the virgin womb. So where God goes, our flesh and blood go too. The death stone is rolled away. And so is the literal stone sealing Jesus too. We know from St. Matthew that an angel actually rolled it away. Now you've got this all wrong if you think the angel rolled away the stone to let Jesus out. The risen Jesus wasn't inside the tomb banging on the stone until the angel moved it. Jesus rose in a glorified body, Easter evening, he has no problem getting in to the locked upper room with his physical body. Just as easy, the risen, glorified Jesus has no problem getting out of the closed tomb with his physical body. The angel does not roll the stone away to let Jesus out, but to let us in. The women go in. And instead of finding the dead Jesus like they expected, they find a living angel. Notice how specific the angel is about what they are to look at. See the place where they laid him. This is because earlier, Mark closed the Good Friday events with this sentence. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. They didn't just see the tomb Jesus was buried in. They saw the very place where they had laid his corpse. See the place where they laid the dead body of Jesus. It's empty now. That's what the women were to do on the first Easter and what you are to do on this Easter and every other Easter. Look, behold, see that this grave is empty. Go to the grave of Muhammad. It's occupied. Go to the grave of Buddha. If it could be found, it would be occupied. Go to the graves of Confucius, Darwin, Nietzsche. They're all occupied. The grave of Jesus is not. But I don't think you get what that means. Don't blame yourself, neither did the women. The angel has to translate for them what this means. He says, see the place where they laid him, but go. You must tell his disciples and Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Remember, every one of these disciples had fled from Jesus in Gethsemane. They had all at some point done what we have. Denied, disowned, been ashamed of Jesus. All the disciples had sinned terribly against Jesus. Yet the angel does not call them deserters, false friends, hypocrites. He doesn't even call them sinners. He calls them disciples. Because of the empty tomb, sinners as bad, as weak, as faithless as us, the angel can call disciples. Notice, the angel especially wants the women to tell Peter. The gross, crass denier of Jesus. Tell Peter, who had fallen from faith, that the plan was still on. The death of Jesus was no rock in the road of his plans. He was still going to meet them in Galilee, just as he told them so before his death. Peter, who must have died 1,000 deaths since Thursday, is to know that Jesus rolled away the stone of death. Jesus' resurrection not only defeats death, but it forgives Peter's denial, the disciples' desertion, and your many sins. The stone you cannot move, yet strangely follows you around where you go your whole life, is rolled out of the way today. The grave is no more the end of you than it is the end of Jesus. Think how much time you spend thinking about death, worrying about death, wondering about death. What if from this day forward you could stop? What if instead of seeing death as the immovable stone, you saw it rolled out of your way? What if the stone was rolled away from your grave so you could enter it without fear of being kept there? You can. In Jesus, you're not going to die the death you fear. He did that already for you on the cross. He endured the pain. He endured the guilt. He endured the fear of a sinner's death. And he rises today to tell you, because I did, you won't. And because I rose, you will. It is not only for this life that Jesus gives hope. No. He also gives hope at the end of this life. Hope in the face of that stone no one can move. If at the point of death, when all reason, all medicine, all technology says this stone can't be moved, if right then Jesus moves it, then what stone, what boulder, what mountain in your life can't he move? But even if his grace should decide not to move one during your decades in this world, what does that really matter to someone living forever in a world without end? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.